And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We just had a wonderful chat with our Mayor Alorza and recapped what a phenomenal weekend it was here in Providence with Waterfire and the International Arts Festival. But now we are about to move in to something, I think everybody knows, and if you don't know, you should know that in November, we at Waterfire have created, with the help of an incredible executive committee that includes Barbara Haynes and Reggie Centrocchio and, Lori Needham and a lot of other people, our Waterfire Salute to Veterans. We usually see about 70,000, 75,000 people. We work closely with many agencies, not only to celebrate our veterans, but also we work closely with the VA to bring resources to the public and to actually get the word out about what's happening at the VA. And so it is my distinct pleasure right now to have in studio with me Winfield Danielson, who is the public affairs officer for the VA here in Providence, Rhode Island, which is, I got to tell you, I know the VA here is, we're pretty top notch.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of what we have to offer.
Yeah, and I also have Joanne Cardoza here, and Joanne has got anything you ever want to know about being eligible for benefits, she knows it. And she's been working at the VA for a while. And, the one thing before we even came on that I really loved that you said, Joanne, you said, I love working at the VA because it's like working with history because of all the stories that you hear. So welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
And, I think you might want to scoot up a little bit to the microphone because we want to hear what you've got to say.
Thanks.
But I know that what's coming up, which is very important, is you have an open house. So, Winfield, would you like to discuss that?
We do. As part of the VA's Summer of Service, which is a nationwide initiative, the Providence VA Medical Center is holding an open house on the 27th, on a Saturday. It runs from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And basically, we're going to be providing information about opportunities to serve veterans, so there'll be information about volunteering. But also, it's a good opportunity for veterans from Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts who have not already enrolled at the VA to take a brief tour, learn what we have to offer. They can fill out an enrollment application, and we'll have representatives from the Veterans Benefits Administration there as well. So,
And I think that's really important. I found, even, my husband's a veteran. There's so many resources available that I have not ever even been aware of. And I know that one of the things that happens sometimes is people won't go to the VA because there was a stigma, let's face it, that kind of hung over the VA for a while. But I do know that there have been massive improvements and things that, and I don't think Rhode Island really had the bad stigma that I think we've seen somewhere in the press, and let's make that kind of clear. But I do know that the services there are incredible. So when we talk about somebody who would be eligible or eligibility, Joanne, I want to ask you, what are some of the biggest questions people have about eligibility, or who's eligible?
Well, one of the biggest questions we get is, I wasn't in a war, I'm not eligible. You don't have to have served in a war or been in wartime. All you had to do before 1980 was serve active military service. And there was no time constraint. It could have been 5 days. It could have been 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there is no time limitations. After 1980, they kind of tightened it up a little. So you had to serve 24 continuous months. But that doesn't mean that if you didn't serve 24 months, that you're not eligible, because they did have programs in the 80s where you only had to serve 15 months.
So it's kind of been bouncing back and forth. So it really behooves someone to go.
Just come in.
Go in and see if you're eligible.
Right.
And you told me an interesting story. Would you mind sharing that again about, just because you don't need the services today doesn't mean you're not going to need them tomorrow. And you told me an interesting story.
Right, exactly. Before. Like, some veterans don't come in because they say, well, I don't have, I make too much money. Well, maybe today you make too much money. But on a national level, what they do is they watch how many people enroll and how much money they make. And they adjust the income limits by the number of people that enroll. And if things change and they do let more people in, if you're enrolled, they'll send you a letter and tell you that you're eligible.
See, I think that's important. You know, Winfield, we were speaking about this before, and about, you know, certainly there's people who feel that they don't want to go and get the VA benefits because they're taking away from somebody else. I know a lot of Vietnam veterans that'll say, you know, no, that leave that for somebody who really needs it. And so they don't take care of those services. But could you describe that, how everything works with the funding for the VA, and that they're really not taking away?
Yeah, it's a common misconception. Actually, our funding is based on the number of veterans that we have active and enrolled in our facility. So if you're a veteran and really all you need from us is an annual checkup, the money that we're not using because you're only getting a checkup, that actually brings in additional funds and resources into the facility that we can use for other veterans who might need more services. So it's very important. You're not taking away at all. You're actually bringing more resources for the people who need it to the VA.
I think that's really important for people to know. And, you know, because, again, I know a lot of people say, no, I don't want to take away from that World War II vet or somebody who's really in need. So what are some of the things that people can expect to see when they go to the open house? What are some of the initiatives that we're looking at the VA now?
Well, I think one of the important things as part of the Summer of Service is concerned is we're in addition to bringing veterans in, we also need more volunteers. And so there will be information there about volunteering. In Providence, we actually have a very robust volunteer program, but one of the things that we do need are more drivers to help veterans get to their appointments. So there will be information there about that. We will be having a representative from the Veterans Benefits Administration there who can talk about, as opposed to health care, they can talk about things like the GI Bill and other benefits that are available for veterans as well as service-connected disability and pensions and those kinds of things as well. So, and now, as far as the healthcare aspect of it, we will offer a tour of some of the more common areas so they can get a feel for what we, you know, the kinds of services we have at the hospital. And we will have people there to kind of help them fill out an enrollment application as well. So that way they can at least get into the system, because you may not, as Joanne was saying earlier, you may not be eligible today, but your situation can change. And if you're already in the system, at least it's that much easier for you to get the care you need.
And so how easy is it, Joanne, for somebody to apply? And I do want to mention something that you had talked about. You mentioned something about Camp Lejeune.
Right.
And that, you know, a lot of people, again, when we were talking about that, some of these eligibility, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. What criteria defines eligibility and criteria is, you know, it's been shifting and changing.
Right.
What is this one about Camp Lejeune and Vietnam veterans that's
okay,
changed
if you
recently?
Were a Marine and you were at Camp Lejeune between 1953 and 1979, you're automatically eligible as a Category 6. Now, the thing about being a Category 6 is there are no income limits. So you could make $1 million and be eligible as a Category 6. Plus, you can get preventative health care, so you can be monitored for the 14 different cancers that come from being at Camp Lejeune. Also, Vietnam veterans, back in the day, you had to prove you were in certain parts of Vietnam. But now, if you have a Vietnam campaign medal, you're automatically eligible, again, as a Category 6, and you can come in and get your care.
Well, that's such an improvement, and that's really great. That's wonderful news for people to know. So how are you getting the news out about the event that you're holding in the open house, and, you know, how can we help?
Well, we're here.
Yeah.
That's number one. I will be publishing a press release to other area media probably in the next day or two, so I would check your local paper for information as well, and on your website as well. And, of course, we'll put it on our social media, on Facebook and those kinds of things too, and we will be doing an email blast to veterans in the area. So, but I think that's one of the challenges we have is reaching veterans. We were talking about this earlier, and that, you know, we know the veterans that are ours. We have about 35,000 annually that come to the Providence VA Medical Center. But estimates range that there may be anywhere from 75 to 90,000 veterans in Rhode Island, and we really don't have a comprehensive list to reach all those people, because we have our list, VBA has their list, the Rhode Island Department of Veterans has its list, but some people aren't on, some might be on one, some might be on two, and some aren't on it at all, because there's no census thing you check off and say, I'm a veteran. So that is a challenge sometimes.
I just want to repeat for our listeners that this open house is on Saturday, June 27th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And when you mentioned drivers, it's funny, during the Gatsby Day Parade, some of the people who were driving the cars were telling me they're drivers for the VA and how much they enjoy it, how much they enjoy hearing the stories and the service they felt they were doing. And it was just interesting to hear that that's one of the things you're also seeking, because they were getting a lot of satisfaction out of that engagement. So it's a nice little circle going back to our earlier story.
Yeah, the people like driving. The challenge we have with drivers in particular, and this is one of the reasons why there's such a demand for them, is they do have to pass a physical for safety reasons. And so we have a lot of older volunteers who work with the VA that just can't drive for those reasons. And so, that's one of the reasons why we need drivers so badly. So if you're interested in doing something like that, I would advise you to come down to the open house and let us know, because we do need more drivers to help these people get to their appointments.
Yeah, and what are some of the other opportunities to volunteer at the VA? Besides the driving, do you do anything with occupational therapy or just like helping people around?
Mostly they help with wayfinding. So, when people come in the hospital, they don't know where to go. The volunteers help them out. They help distribute things. Like we have a little newsletter. We have magazines that come in from the VA on a national and regional level, and they bring all those to the waiting areas. They also help with things like the gardening, and they help with our homeless program, keeping the pantry stocked with donations. Donations we get to the hospital, they receive those and help hand those out. They help with a lot of events, like the summer sports program is a program where we basically have a lot of adaptive sports for veterans that they can participate in. And the volunteers really take a big part of the load of making those kinds of things happen. So they're involved in many different aspects
of
the VA.
So there's lots to do. I'm really enjoying this conversation. And when we come back, I want to talk about more of the different things happening at the VA that people might not be aware of. We're having a great conversation here with Winfield Danielson and Joanne Cardoza from the VA. And I'm really enjoying this. I'm looking forward to coming back and chatting with you a little bit more. You're listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business. Underwritten, this show is by National Grid. Thank you very much, National Grid, and Lifetime Medical Support Services. Talk to you soon. And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm Bronwyn Dannenfelter, your host, and I'm here with my co-host Barnaby Evans, and we are talking to some wonderful people from the VA, Winfield Danielson and Joanne Cardoza. And before we jump back into our conversation with them, I just want to say a very big thank you again to our underwriter, National Grid, and to Lifetime Medical Support Services, which has been serving the nursing and healthcare solution for over 30 years, providing its clients with home care services to personally fit the needs of each and every individual. And Lifetime Medical right now is hiring and looking for certified CNAs. So I know that there's a lot of people out there looking for jobs. They have jobs available. Please feel free to call them at 401-333-3333. That's pretty easy, isn't it? 401-333-3333. And actually, moving right from Lifetime Medical Support Services, or Lifetime Medical, I was reading that the VA is always looking to hire as well, and that you're always looking for, you've got jobs available right now.
Yeah, absolutely. As part of the Veterans Choice Act, we got a lot of additional funding for people that work in the clinics and with veterans. So not just doctors, although that's obviously a big part of it, but nurses, medical technicians, clerical staff, and we are bringing on, I want to say, around 48, I think, over the course of this fiscal year. So there are positions that are available. I would keep an eye on USA Jobs, which is where all of our jobs are published. And if you're in one of those fields, we'd love to have you.
So again, www.usajobs.gov. And I think it's wonderful because, Joanne, how long have you been working at the VA?
29 years.
That's a very long time. And what is it that, all right, what's your passion? What is it that has kept you there for so long?
It's just the people. It's the people that work there. It's the veterans. I've met so many different veterans from so many eras, and I've been able to help so many of them get into the system and get the care that they need, that it's just a gratifying, gratifying job.
And I can only imagine the stories and, as you said, the history that you enjoy and that you hear. And again, just the resilience of some of these people. What was it you were telling me? You told me an elevator story.
Oh, a man was getting off an elevator and the door closed really fast. And everybody ran over to him and said, "Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, are you okay?" He goes, "I was at Iwo Jima. An elevator's not going to get me."
Right on. And Winfield, so, you know, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about what the services are that are happening at the VA, or, again, your initiatives that people might not be aware of?
Well, we're a pretty comprehensive system. So our services run the gamut from primary health care, mental health care. We can do imagery there if you need to have, x-rays done, those kinds of things. Dermatology. I mean, we have, up to 32 different specialty clinics that you can see. And I think one of the benefits of being in the VA system is it's a self-contained system. So we're really good at managing different care together, like as a comprehensive package, whereas a lot of times if you're outside the VA system, you're seeing different physicians from different facilities, and sometimes the communication isn't there. So I think cooperative care is really something, coordinated care is something that is a strength in the VA system.
I would think so, absolutely.
And another thing that we do in the VA is we have a wonderful transplant system. We do kidneys, we do hearts, we do lungs, we do livers, and we coordinate the care in Providence, and then we send them to like Pittsburgh or Richmond, and they're all in the VA system.
That's excellent. So there's all these different resources, and I do know that you work with the Brown Warren Albert Medical Center and Rhode Island College and URI.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people don't realize that no single institution in the country trains more doctors or nurses than the VA. So just one statistic, more than 70% of doctors in the U.S. have received some kind of training or been affiliated with the VA at some point in their careers. So.
Well, I think that's excellent. And there's so much more that people need to know about what happens at the VA. Don't be afraid to go and find out if you're eligible or not. Take advantage of that, because the more that you take advantage of that, the more funding the VA actually gets and can help more people. And I think that's, again, let's underline that. So if you've been hesitant to actually go in, or if you know somebody who is a veteran that's in your family that's been hesitant to walk in those doors, you know, it's a resource. And the more that you walk in those doors, the more money they get to help anybody and everybody that they need to. So I am looking forward to seeing you both at the Salute to Veterans. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more before then about some really pointed topics that, you know, deserve attention. But, you know, thank you so much, Joanne,
thank
for joining
you for having us.
Thanks for having
Winfield.
Us.
And thank you again for all that you do at the VA. I know we're very appreciative. And Barnaby, what a great show.
Well, it's great to have these guests. And I would, you know, veterans deserve this care. It's not sort of taking advantage of it. It's care they were promised and they deserve. And it's good to know, to correct that notion that somehow a veteran's coming is reducing the pool. It's good to hear that that helps build support for the system. So that's great to hear.
And we don't have a donut hole.
There you go. Right. Well, thank you for listening. I would like to remind everybody that next week we are getting preempted by the damn Yankees again. So we will be on Tuesday at 3:00, and looking forward to talking to you all with Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. And if you'd like to hear any of this, or if you missed any of this, you can go to the Waterfire website /radio, right? /.org/radio, /Barnaby's teaching me how to really say how this really goes. And thank you again, and we will talk to you next week.